Now, real quick, before Pastor Mike gets up to speak, I found something in the office this past week that I felt like I had to share it with everyone. I was back there. I was looking for a piece of music, and I found it, and I was like, wow, this, I think the congregation would like to see this. So without, you know, the title of the sermon today is my mid-year report card. So without further ado, I'd like to show you this right here, and then we'll let Mike get up to speak.
Amazing.
I love it too.
And you think it's funny.
Good job.
Just for that, there's another 40 chapters to go in the Psalms, and I'm going to preach them all for the rest of the day. It'll be payback. That's pretty good. Thank you, Tyler. A lot of spare time in the old worship department, eh? I'll fix that this week as well. You got to know underneath stuff if you haven't picked it up by now. There's a lot of friendship that's going on between us folks that serve on staff. We have an elder, by the way, who I've said this for years in the churches I've been at, that elders are welcome at staff meeting, but nobody has ever taken me up on it until I ran into Glenn Francis, who's retired, and he shows up at about every staff meeting. And I know he is my twin. We are twins. And so Glenn shows up. But listen, if you wanted somebody to back up what I'm going to say right now, this is the guy that can do it. These guys started meeting together, and now we meet together because we care for each other. And we do the business of church, but we pray for each other. We do the business of church, but there's an underlying we're here for each other. And that's what you do with a staff, because a staff needs to mimic what goes on with the church in general. And if we get together and we hate each other, here comes the technical advisor. Don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. And Wizard of Oz. But the point...
That was you.
That was me. I haven't lost my thought. If you want a church congregation to be a certain way, then your staff has to be that way. And if your staff doesn't love and care for each other like they're supposed to, then we cannot expect you to do the same thing. And so behind your backs, every Monday night, we meet and we take over a part of Panera. And that's where we have staff meeting. We don't do it here. Out in public, the staff at Panera know who we are. They know what we're doing. It's amazing the relationships that have started that way. And in Trundles, these staff guys with Rose and Glenn. And we sit at a table and we go at it for literally, we meet for 2.5-3 hours. And it goes by in a heartbeat. And we drink up all the soda that they have in Panera. It's just a wonderful experience. So if you're thinking... is that something I should... Oh, that is lightning and thunder. Okay, I didn't know if it was you guys again. All right. I said, can you fix this? I'm hearing thunder through here. All right, good. So, okay, you need to know that. Then you need to know about this. Rain, snow, sleet, or whatever, this afternoon will be a baptismal service. Don't call me at 3:30 and say it's raining and there's lightning. That just makes it more fun. We'll see you out there at 4 o'clock, and there will be a group of a half a dozen or more getting baptized, and they're getting baptized no matter what. We'll figure out how to do it. Be out there today. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're the family group. We like to care for each other and like to be together. Here's a chance to do that. And listen, if you've not been baptized and you have not talked to me yet, you can tell me right up to the time. But if you want to talk to me this morning, all you have to do is say to me, I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be obedient to Christ and be baptized. And lo and behold, you can be part of it today. It's simple instructions. Membership, you got to come to a class. You got to do all kinds of stuff. Baptism, say you believe in Jesus Christ. Good enough for me. Want to be baptized. We're going to baptize you. That takes place today. And many times at baptismal services, I have made that offer to people, and people have stepped out of the crowd in their clothes and gotten baptized. Really pretty cool. If you're one of those folks today, you can avoid the clothes thing and go to a bathing suit if you talk to me. Before we get at 4 o'clock today, there's a map in the paperwork that was handed out. Find your way there today. Now listen, it's important today for everybody to have an outline. Not every week, but especially this week, it would help. Does anybody not have an outline? Glenn, can you stand up and walk around? Okay, well, that was easy. Okay, good. Everybody got outlines? Everybody settled? Okay, good. Good. I see them being passed around. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. They're walking around with a few. Here they come. Thank you. We're doing great here. We're doing great. All right. All righty. You need that. You need a pen. And the worship department. Worship department who's around these notes all week long. Just kidding. Tyler, I don't get people back. That the Lord does that. And there's lightning out today. I'll just be very afraid. Okay. That's just going to be... Let us pray and try to bring this back to order. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for today. I thank you that we can enjoy a relationship with each other because of what you've given us in Jesus Christ. Father, we, people at Candlewood, once again commit ourselves to you in this time of looking at your word, that you might continue to drag us down and pull us down and cause us to go down the path of righteousness and growth in you. Father, we pray very dynamically this morning that you would do that. We give you unusual permission to do that. No one else, but you alone, Father, teach us, instruct us, correct us where it needs to take place. And we're going to thank you for those results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do me a favor. You don't have to, well, in about 10 minutes, some of you go into a trance, which is really pretty cool. It's that glazed-eyed, whatever, trance. Do that right now if you'd like, because I'd like you to think over the first 6 months of the summer. A lot of times people at the end of the year say, hey, let's talk about the previous year, what was good and what was bad. But today I just want you to think back over the past 6 months. Because 6 months ago we were sitting here talking about your goals for the next year. 6 months ago the people on TV were reminding you, what's your goals? What's your desires? What do you want to accomplish this year? And you thought about some stuff, and I can tell you exactly what you thought. You thought, oh, this is the year I get a new hairstyle. Put that down in the hairstyle jokes. Okay, good. Oh, this is the year I lose that weight. I haven't seen anybody in here that's lost that weight. But maybe that was your goal. I'm not sure. This is... Oh, okay. I'm not... I don't evaluate people, okay? Glad you're doing great, though. Hey, this next year, I'm going to travel here. This next year, I'm going to do this. This next year in my job, I'm going to accomplish this. This next year, I'm going to do this thing. So think about the year you've just had, your hopes, your plans, expectations. And I could say this to you. Generally speaking, do you have an idea how that went? Okay, God laughed. Not yet. Okay. We're going to look at the scripture this morning, Psalm 112. Psalm 112, if you could do that. And on your note sheet, there are some key areas that you're going to grade this morning, you're going to look at this morning, and you're going to give yourself a grade, but not an A, B, C, D, E, F, G grade. You're going to give yourself a check or a minus. How's that? Can we do that? So you're looking at your note sheet, you see a bunch of things coming up, and it comes from Psalm 112. So we're going to make a first six-month evaluation how you did this year. So here we go. Let me read for us in Psalm 112, first verse. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Verse 2. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. First thing you're going to evaluate on your note sheet is children. Okay, look at it with me. This is if you have children or if you're a caretaker of them. How were your children this past year? Adult children or small children? How were they? Has there been hurt or frustration to you because of them? Have they done well to honor you? Are they living to glorify God and to serve God? Give yourself a grade in that area with children. Thank you. Plus, doing pretty good. Minus, not so much. Good. Give yourself a grade. Nobody needs to see this but you. All righty? Should come to you pretty quick. Verse 3. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. You'll notice on your note sheet, the next area you're going to evaluate is wealth and riches. This is great. Everybody has financial goals, don't we? That's what they tell me on TV to do. How did you do with your money this past 6 months? Has it been a good 6 months or a tough 6 months? Listen to this. Were you righteous in the area of your resources over the past 6 months? Did you exhibit integrity with your resources? It's clear in the scripture that everything we have materially comes from God. Did you treat your wealth and your materials as coming from God? Give yourself a plus or a minus. How's your relationship been with your money, with your wealth and your riches the past 6 months? All right. Next one, verse 4. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. The next thing you're going to make a note on is dark times. Do you know what dark times is? Dark times are tough times. Now, no matter how dark things may have gotten for you in the past 6 months, did you still exhibit the light of Jesus Christ? Did you keep your focus on him no matter how bad your situation was getting? Did you glorify him no matter how bad your situation was getting? In the dark times, did you remember that God is sovereign? The word means in total control. Did you remember that and remember that he's got a purpose in your life even in the dark and the rough times? Only creature in the universe, only God, has your best interest at heart. He wants to glorify himself through you, and especially in the dark times. The other beings in the universe, they want to take you down and slay you and hurt you. God, during the dark times, wants to lift you up and glorify himself through you. Wow. How'd you do in the dark times? How'd you do in the tough times when things weren't that good, when you got the news you weren't looking for? How'd you do with that? Give yourself a plus. Did pretty well. Give yourself a minus if you didn't. Nobody else is looking at this except for the spouses I see looking over your shoulder right now. Okay, good. Verse 5. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. This is about goodwill. Notice on your note sheet. Can it be said of you that you showed goodwill to others? Did you seek to serve others? Do you desire that others do well and succeed? Give yourself a grade. How are you with goodwill this year? Look at verses 6 to 8. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph over his adversaries. In verses 6 to 8, it's talking about our security. Hey, were you easily shaken when you got bad news before? How did you react when the news was not good or things got tough? Did you feel like your security was now gone because things weren't going well for you? Did you lose confidence in the fact that the Lord is involved with you or that the Lord would take care of you? Were you, hey, let me say this. Were you in fear over the past 6 months? Ooh. Did you make decisions out of fear? Did you operate out of fear even though the situation would cause you a lot of fear? Give yourself a grade about where you felt your security was. Plus, did pretty well. Minus, not so good. I've been pretty freaked out. Look at verse 9. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn, strength, is exalted in honor. That verse 9 talks about being a benefit to others. Did you benefit others with what benefited you? Do you realize that what God has given you, he's given for you to use with other people? Do you look for opportunities to do and to act and to serve and to give to others? Is that you? Give yourself a grade. Were you a benefit to? Were you a benefit to others or not? A plus or a minus? You know what we've been doing, okay? Now, look at your note sheet right now. You've given yourself some pluses and some minuses. Overall, as you look at the notes now in front of you, plus and minus, give your first 6 months a grade. Simple as that. And if now you want to get crazy, give yourself a letter grade. How well did you do the past 6 months? I'll give you 10 seconds to think about it and put it down. Or give yourself a big plus or a big minus. Okay. Now, you know what I'm going to say to you? I'm glad you wrote all that down. I'm glad you put all that down and gave yourself a grade. And generally speaking, whether you wrote something down or not, you do have an impression in your mind that it was a plus for the 6 months or a minus for the 6 months. Big minus, big plus, little minus, little plus, and little. That's what it is, correct? You've all got an idea about the first 6 months, judged on these things that people generally judge. But the truth of the matter is this. There is an even greater evaluation in the psalm which we did not touch. And it's contained in Psalm 112 right here, verse number 1. And you need to see some of the deeper evaluations and foundations that take place. And if you get these next three things down, then all these things just talk about fall into place. All these things we just graded all become pluses if these three things are indicative of you. Now it gets interesting. Now we go to from preaching to meddling, okay? And here it is. I haven't used that phrase in ever, but I got to tell you that. Look at verse 1 again, okay? Can I do this with you? Praise the Lord. Well, it's not really written that way. I said it that way. It's really like this. Praise the Lord! It's declarative. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. The first foundation is this, my attitude of praise. The Psalms continue to repeat this one phrase. And that one phrase is what? Wow. Okay. That was a little weak. I don't know who to blame for that, but it was a little weak. Okay. There's one phrase in the Psalms that continues to come back over and over and over and sets the pace for what my heart is supposed to be feeling, what's supposed to be the reaction in my mind, what's supposed to be the thing that comes out of my mouth. And that phrase is what? That's better, but not yet. It really isn't. We're getting there, though. The truth of the matter is, dark times, good times, every time in my life, I go back to this one phrase. The fact of the matter is, years ago, there used to be a group of people that was in a church that I was in. And whenever anything happened, they went like this. Praise the Lord! And I was like, oh, I just found out great-grandma died. And they'd go, praise the Lord! And I was like, we just found out all the stuff in the refrigerator of the church has gone bad because the power's been out all week. And, oh, it's horrible. And their first reaction was, oh, praise the Lord. And I was like, I just gritted against you. Ever met somebody like that? I don't like people like that. Until I got to know them. And it was genuine. When things happened in their life that was not good. And the storm started to come up with the real ones that just took the back of their house off up in Ohio. And they were like this, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No matter what, that's the one thing I can go back to is praise the Lord. And they were genuine with this one phrase. And that one phrase was what? Praise the Lord. It comes out of us. It's like juice with the orange when we get squeezed. The only thing that come out is?
Praise the Lord.
No, I was going for orange juice. But okay, praise the Lord is really good. When I squeeze an orange, I get what? Orange juice, okay? Squeeze a grapefruit, I get what? Grapefruit. What? Okay, I'm not done, all right? When I squeeze an apple, I get what? Apple juice. Hang with me, everybody, all right? When I squeeze an egg, I get what? Egg juice, good. When I squeeze a cow, I get what? I get cow juice, cold milk. When I squeeze a cat, I get what? Okay, the idea. The truth of the matter is this, that what's inside us is what comes out. And it is a New Testament principle that when you get squeezed, I'm talking about those things we just looked at. Money's no good. Health is no good. The situation stinks. It is dark times. What is going on? I might feel abandoned by God, and I'm getting squeezed on every side. And what comes out is the stuff that's really inside. And that's when the heart felt, praise the Lord, holding on tight. That's what we're talking about. And that's this foundation. We can say it loud right now, but now say it with conviction and not loud, but meaning it. Ready? Praise the Lord. No matter what, right? We're going to praise the Lord. It's the foundation of praise. It's the place I go back to. I don't walk around flippantly, oh, I just love being in pain. I love being sick. I love being poor. I love not paying my bills. Praise the Lord. They put you away for that kind of stuff, all right? This is different. This is, things are bad and you just walked out of intensive care and I meet you there and you look at me and say, it doesn't look like she's going to make it, but praise the Lord. It's a foundation of praise for his purposes, his will, his guidance in your life. It's a continual attitude. And you know what? As someone who's a follower of Christ, I realize that I've got a God who first loved me before I even realized I needed to be loved. And he continues to love me with a love that's not describable. It's not understandable. And he gives me this physical life, which, by the way, is pretty cool, even only lasts a few years. He gives me this physical life and then backs it up because of Christ with giving me a spiritual life with him forever. And you know what else he's done? A third thing we never think about. He gives me the Holy Spirit in this physical life to live inside of me, to guide me and tutor me until I get over here to be with him forever. I've got an attitude of praise because of this. And then, this God of the universe uses me as his tool to represent him and glorify him in every place that he's put me, and every nook and cranny. If you've been around me long enough, we talk about stuff going on in life, I will say a phrase like this to you every so often. I don't know how I got here. It's not that I don't know where I am, but every so often I just get in situations that I didn't plan. And then I have to, just like you, and then I've got to look and say, okay, God, what do you got in mind and why do you have me here? And what do you want me to say and how do you want me to react? In very short time, I'm going to be in his presence forever. And right now, I'm his tool. And that's why when things go really, really well, I have one response, and it's what? Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Look what I got. Look how he's healed me. Look. It's great. And then, you know, that was, yeah. I don't know how the worship department's doing that, but that is really cool, all right? So when things are going well, I'm there to say praise the Lord. And when things are not going well, and you all know what I'm talking about, I have several times in my life carried a baby casket. Have you ever done this before? I've carried a baby casket out of the back of a hearse, and I've taken it. I'm the officiant, but the family wanted me to carry their dead child of less than a month or two down to the baby gravesite and put this thing down and put it back and look, put it down and look at some of the people, the parents, the grandparents, some of the close friends, people like us that held the baby in the hospital before it passed away. And as this is all going on, it is gut-wrenching. And to have people stand around this baby's gravesite, it's happened several times to me now, and have fellow believers look at me and say, this stinks, I don't understand it, but you know what? And here it is. It's not the, it's, I praise the Lord. That's when it's real. And that's when it's really cool. And that's when it speaks for Jesus Christ. That's us. What I'm saying is that nothing, either good or bad, changes my posture of thanks to the Lord first. I'm continually thankful to him no matter what. In fact, if you read your scripture, after I'm done with this life, you know what I'm going to do for eternity? I'm going to what? Praise the Lord. As I get to see him, as I'm getting exposed to more of him. 1 million years from right now, you still won't know everything you will about God. You'll be still learning more stuff. And you'll be responding with an attitude of praise to him because it's going to be that fantastic. You looking forward to that? I am. No hindrances, no side thoughts, no distractions. Here I am, me and him, and I get to praise him. That sounds really pretty cool. So, during the past 6 months, now we're talking real stuff. Is it true in your spiritual walk that it could be said of you that you praised the Lord? Past 6 months. Think of what's gone on. A lot of stuff's gone on. Been a lot of disappointments over the past 6 months. Been a lot of cool stuff. I've had hives twice. I don't know if that counts for anything. Okay. There's a lot of scratching. So there's been the little new nuisances, and then there's been some pretty big stuff, just like in your life. Has it been true of you that you praise the Lord? Think about it. Let's look at the second one here. It is also in verse 1. It says, look at it closely. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. The second one takes on a little bit more of an ominous tone if you don't know about it. And that is, your foundation should not just be praise the Lord, but it needs to be fear the Lord. If you're writing notes, Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the very psalm right before this says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want you to notice, I am on a quest, by the way. Listen to me carefully and look up so you get this, all right? You are too, but I'm going to be the first one to say it out of the group. I am in a quest to be happy. You want to be happy? I want to be happy. I want to laugh a lot. I want to get with friends who like to laugh a lot. There's three guys I know in my life that I've had in the same room at the same time about four times in my life. And after being with them for a couple hours, literally when they left, my stomach hurt. I listened. I'm not anywhere near these guys' level. They can tell stories. They can tell jokes. They're just funny. And when they get funny, then they get funnier. It's an amazing thing. If you know people like this, it's just fantastic. I want to be like that. I want to be happy all the time. And I strive for my comfort. Don't you? You don't strive for your comfort? You don't? Okay, good. I guess I do. Look at the word that's here. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That word blessed means happy. It means content. It means a deep-sided contentment. But happy is the man who fears the Lord. Well, ha, ha, ha. I know what fear is. Fear is like a slave to his master. Fear is like when the dog chews up something he shouldn't and he cowers when I walk in the room. That's fear, and that's what I expect to see is fear, because the dog knows he did wrong, and now I'm going to take a broom and I'm going to beat him. I'm sorry, okay? I knew I was going to get it there, all right? That fear is not this fear. This is a word that means reverent awe, which causes a response in the heart of wonder and love and worship and praise. This fear is different than the fear of, well, you caught me doing something wrong. This is a fear that causes something fantastic. And I have person after person who talks to me, my neighbors who talk to me. And you know what they say? They say they're unhappy. A couple of weeks ago, I'm with a guy in my neighborhood, and for some reason, somewhere in there, he must have seen the reverend badge. Because I think people like me must have a reverend badge that they wear. And people can see it when you're outside in the yard mowing. And so we got talking. I had my reverend badge on. He said, oh, you're a reverend. I said, oh, yeah, I am. Look at the way I'm mowing my lawn. Okay. You've seen my lawn. It's horrible. Okay, good. So here I am. And he wants to talk. And we get talking. I hadn't seen him in a couple months. Here we get talking about stuff. And you know what he tells me? He's telling me how unhappy he is. And I made a list, by the way, of what he was unhappy about. He was not happy with where his marriage had gone. Silence in the room. I like that. You think much about the happiness in your marriage? A lot of people do. And a lot of people come up with the unhappy result that they don't like where they're at. If they could have the courage, they'd change it. Not happy in his job. You know why? He wanted to make more money, but then he told me if he made more money, he'd still want to be out of the job. I was like, okay. And he went on and then told me he didn't have any friends. I was thinking maybe because you come up while they're mowing the lawn and you talk like this to them. I don't want to be your friend either. Put two and two together. People out there, listen, who don't know Christ, and people in here who claim to be followers of Christ, want to be happy. It is a natural thing to want to be happy. They're looking for happiness. And everybody's looking for it in all these areas. They're looking for it in stuff. We know the more stuff you get, the bigger the boat, the bigger the house, the bigger the stuff you got, the more happy you're going to be. If any of you have any of the bigger stuff you've gotten, you realize it didn't do it. So what's next on your list? It must be relationships. If I could just get a date with that pretty girl. Would that be a line to quote me on, wouldn't it? Okay, good. If I could just get that guy to look at me, look at him. He's fantastic. I need a guy like that. If I could get a spouse like that, my life would be perfect. Hey, in my job, if I could rise to the top and be the number one, then I'd be happy. And it's always another thing and another thing and another thing. And the truth of the matter is the scripture says happiness is found simply in the fear and the awe, wow factor before the Lord. You want to do a quick Bible study with me for just 30 seconds? I put this thing together. I just thought I'd share it and give you a whole book study in just 30 seconds. Can I do that? A lot of you know in your Bible that there's the book of Ecclesiastes. And the writer of Ecclesiastes is who?
Solomon.
You know what? may have been the richest man in the world at the time or of all time, but the fact of the matter is he had a lot of experiences and did a lot of introspection under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and under that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. Listen to this. He gives us an interesting perspective on life. In fact, he talks through most of the book and he says this, when I look at this and when I look at this, by the way, major accomplishments, and I look at this, I have wasted my life. I set out to find happiness and I sought to find it in thought and in philosophy. And you know what? I got all that stuff and I got all the libraries and all the books and I wasn't happy. I went out to accumulate all the knowledge I could. Probably one of the smartest and known as one of the wisest men of his time. And he attains all that and he comes down with the conclusion that he's not happy. He sought pleasure. He sought money. He sought things. He even went so far to make the pots and pans in the palace kitchen made out of gold. Can you imagine that? You just have the wherewithal that, oh, what in the world? Let's make all the gadgets in the kitchen made of gold. And he did that. And he still was not happy. And he gets to the very end of the matter, toward the very end of the book. In Ecclesiastes 12:12, he says this in conclusion. The conclusion of the whole matter is this. To fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And all those other things that we chase after will not cause me to be happy. It is found in the fear of the Lord. Listen carefully. Over the past 6 months, has it been true of your life that you feared the Lord? That the Lord in your life had the, here it is, look, the wow factor, the awe factor, the wonderment factor. Did you have that with the Lord over these past 6 months? Meaning, did he have the right place of priority in your life to where you were like, wow, wow, that's what this is. Let's look at the last one here. You'll see it in verse 1. It says this, that he greatly delights in his commandments. The third foundation that's worthy of evaluation, that sets off all the others, is delighting in the word. In fact, Psalm 1 goes into further detail to tell us that the blessed person delights in the law of the Lord. It goes on to say this, he meditates on it day and night, and because of this is like a strong tree planted by the streams of water, who grows stronger and he bears fruit and his leaves don't wither and whatever he does prospers. And I go, wow, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want. Well, guess what? Here's the key. Who greatly delights in his command. Foundational to all this is delighting in God's commands. Now, let's be transparent for a minute. A lot of you folks are kind of around my age. I'm going to tell you something. I come from a generation where this is hard to understand. You know why? Now, somebody's going to be upset at this. Don't talk to me about this. This is not worth talking about. Unless you're of my generation, then you're going to get it because you're on the inside track, okay? But the fact of the matter is, guys, we were the generation that got free. We were the generation that set the pace for just about everybody in here. At least that's what we think if you read the papers, okay? We think we're pretty special. I said this for you guys to understand this. But the truth of the matter is, our generation was set free from the rules. Our generation was the first one to think outside the box. Our generation, how much fruit has that got you, okay? Our generation is the one that was truly liberated. We were the ones that grabbed a hold of our freedom, and look what we did. Okay, that set everybody up, okay? Fact of the matter is, every generation feels like they're the ones that sets the pace. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, we struggle to be free of all kinds of restrictions. And if you're thinking this way, then you've misunderstood what it means to delight in the Word of God. You know what delight means? Delight means the experience I had this morning with Patty in the back of church, okay? I was sitting there, and I always go and check people and make sure everybody's okay and this and that. And for whatever reason this morning, here's what she did diabolically to this church body. She prepared a bunch of things, monkey bread included, with that cinnamon butter sugar smell. I don't know about you, but I didn't come from a family that made that kind of stuff. But in my imaginary family that I've got in my head, I imagine my mom and grandma and dad and all those people got up early and they baked for me. And they made that kind of stuff. And when I came down from my room, there was this cinnamon, sugar, and butter concoction on the table that was just, I love this word, wafting through the house. And I couldn't keep myself from it. And in a trance, I floated down to get to the cinnamon butter and sugar tree. And I told her this morning, I said, this stuff just smelling about, that's all I can smell. I love it. That's the word delight, okay? Delight is deep joy. Thank you, Patty, okay? Do a great job. Delight is deep joy. It's not troublesome at all. It's not a heavy weight or burden, but it's something that frees you, something you look forward to. It's not restraining. In fact, to get a better flavor of this word, let me do this to you. My wife's not in here, and I did get an A in this area. Okay, let me do this, okay? Well, don't tell her I said this either, all right? Remember when you first... Okay, I'll do it. I remember when I first fell in love with my wife. Can you go there with me in your relationship when you first fell in love? Whether you're married to that person or not, just can you remember when you first fell in love? Do you remember how it was kind of like that cinnamon sugar butter smell? Okay, isn't that how your relationship smelled too? Okay, good. It was just so fantastic. Do you remember that though? It was incredible. Listen, I couldn't get enough of hearing her voice. I just couldn't. And I think when she thinks of me, she thinks, I couldn't get enough of hearing his voice. Now, I already know that ship has sailed, but I'm just sharing with you right now, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I could just listen to her for hours. And every so often, she'd touch me. Watch this, okay? When she first touched me, I can still feel it. There was nothing like it. Now, you're laughing, but this is just the truth. Can you remember that in your life, too? Okay, I'm baiting somebody into some trouble at home. All right, here we go. We used to get on the phone, the corded ones, and we would be on. Do you know what I'm talking about? No, I didn't think you did. But years ago, they had these things, and cords came out and went into a box on the wall around the desk. And you can only go about that far away because that's as far as you can go because that's as far as the cord went. And some of us got extra long cords. We could walk a little further away, and we'd be on the phone with each other, and we'd be talking. You're not going to believe this. And we couldn't hang up because they just wanted to keep hearing her voice. It was just fantastic. No, you hang up. No, you hang. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You said you were going to hang up, but you said first. Okay, well, hang up together. No, you didn't. You get the whole thing, all right? So there you go. You ever been there? Remember what that was like? Wasn't that cool? Now, take note, all these adults saying this stuff, okay, because it was like that for them, too. And remember when you looked at each other and you went like this. You remember the deep sigh? Remember that deep longing sigh for that other person you were in love with? Remember that? Wasn't that the best? Now I'm not going to ask you where that went because this isn't a marriage sermon. This is about that word delight. All that describes delight. It was an absolute delight to be with her. There was no pressure at all. That's the scripture. I can't wait to get there. I'm in love with it. I delight in it. Nothing's going to keep me from it. I got to get to it so it can touch me. And every time I read it, it touches me. And I go, oh, this is just so rich. And there's a ton of information out there. I am one of those people. I am an information junkie. And I read everybody's opinion on everything. And you know what? The bottom line at the end of the day and during the day is that God's word needs to be that delight to me and not what somebody else is saying out there. Even though I read all that stuff, you need to be the same way. Be aware of what's going on in your culture and in our society. Know that stuff. But at the end of the day, know that you come back to delighting in the word of God above everything else and nothing will keep us from it. So here we go. In the past 6 months, this is tough. Followers of Christ, come on. In the past 6 months, could it be said of you that you delighted in the Word of God? And did it show itself by the priority it had in your heart and in your life? Did you let it instruct you and teach you and discipline you and take you to another place with Him? Let's bow in prayer. And now that you're bowing your head in prayer, would you do this for me? Every so often it is good to look at the scripture in this kind of light. But could you now in your heart of hearts thank the Lord for the year so far? Could you just say, God, thank you for the first part of this year? Could you do that? Take a minute and do that right now. And now that you've done that, could you now recommit where needed? Could there be things that we hit this morning? You said, you know what? I've lost that discipline. I don't have that attitude of praise. I don't have that fear like I'm supposed to of the Lord. And I definitely don't delight in His Word. And I claim that I do, but I really don't. Would you commit to being the child of God who is like that? And the great thing about this is, if you've been remiss and off the mark in these things, you can recommit and start today. And that's what we love about our relationship with the Lord. Our Father, we thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for how pointed it is in our lives. And Father, we once again boldly pray and ask that You would continue to use it in us to make us like Jesus Christ in every way. And we look forward to the next 6 months and what You have for us. Father, use us in ways we never imagined, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.